Hey, this is Ron Jacobs for Endpoint TV, and today I want to think about how do we make a better sample. And so, you know, one of the things that I do for WF and WCF and some future things that you haven't seen yet is I try to think about how we can help you learn about these technologies and use them in the right way. And, you know, of course, one of the things we do is we make sample applications. And if you're like me, you like to look at samples and learn how things work. And of course, sometimes you find that the samples aren't so clear, or maybe they're not very well written, or sometimes they just don't work, or whatever, right? I mean, samples are tricky. And everybody likes to have good samples, but it's a lot of work to make good ones. So here is a prototype of some things I'm trying to do to make better samples. And so what we'll do today is look at this sample, and then you can see if you think it's more helpful. So I'm going to show you, give you a tour of what we've done. So this is the new MSDN Code Samples Gallery, which I really like. They've done a very nice job in updating this. And we have a sample here of the WF4 Collection Activities example. And this sample is available in C# and VB.net. And it really is just about the collection activities and workflow. So what I did is I give you here in the description a quick summary of what projects are in the sample and how do you quickly run it. And then I have a set of scenarios, which are things that I thought you might be considering, like how do I add items to a collection, what happens if I add a duplicate, those kind of things. And I show you where in the sample, what file you're going to find it in where we did this. And then there is one particular thing about working with collection activities that I think will trip people up if you're not careful. And so this scenario right here, how do I create an activity that ensures a customer exists in a list? That's the one. So I have a nice little explanation here, plus a link to a blog post I did on the ideas of object equivalence in the CLR. Okay, so we're going to actually look at that in some more detail. So let's move on here. The next thing I did was kind of think about what are the common exceptions you might run into if you're working with this activity. So I have a list here of those. And then I searched on the web and the MSDN forums and things to see what kind of questions do people ask about the collection activities. And so I selected some of those and I have questions and answers here. And the idea is hopefully that this sample will give you a pretty good understanding. It would answer some of the common questions that you have and show you how they work. All right, so I have downloaded this sample and loaded it up here in Visual Studio. So let's take a look. Here is the actual sample workflow, and it's here in the Collections Console app. Let's make this our startup project. All right, it's the collectionactivities.xaml. And what I'm doing here is I'm manipulating a collection of int32, okay? Because I know a lot of people create workflows that deal with collections of int32, right? No, not really. But, you know, a lot of times in a sample, we try to do something really simple. So this is really simple and kind of meaningless, but just shows you how to use the collections. And we see here that the first thing you need to do when you want to work with a collection is you have to be sure that you have one. So I initialize it with a new collection of int32, so I don't get an exception because I haven't initialized the collection. And then I have some activities here that populate the collection. So I can say, populate it with 5 ints, and this will populate it with 5. This activity here will right line whatever's in the collection. And then what I did simply here is just kind of go through and use the activities. So if I want to clear the collection, here I have clear collection. I should wipe it out, and we'll right line to show that it's empty. Here I have add collection. So again, I'm going to pass in a value, and it's of type int32. And then we'll write the collection. And then we'll say we're going to check for number 5. And so we'll see if number 5 exists in the collection. And so exists in collection accepts a found out argument as a Boolean. Right, so then I can say, all right, if we found it, then we're going to remove the item number 5 there from the collection. And then if we removed it, then we'll say 5 was removed. Okay, so that's simply what we're going to do. And this is, you know, really, really simple stuff, right? Of course it works, and that's the collection running. But, you know, this is good because it shows you how these collection activities work. Now, there's something else that I did in this application, and because I love unit tests, I have unit tests. And there are 8 tests in here that verify these behaviors, and they illustrate for you a couple of things, like how do you unit test this thing? And yes, I use Microsoft.activities.unittesting. And they show you different scenarios that this first thing didn't show you. And so one of the scenarios is really how do we deal with types that are different, not just ints. But, you know, most of the time if you're doing a workflow, you're dealing with collections of things, like a collection of a customer, collections of products or whatever. And so you're not going to be just manipulating value types like ints. And so let's look at an activity here. This one is called Ensure Customer is in List. All right, so this was a scenario I mentioned earlier. So I have a collection of customer. All right, if we look at our arguments, we see here the customer collection. It's a collection of type customer. And it accepts an in argument of customer. And the idea of this activity is we want to be sure that the if the customer does not exist in the collection, if they weren't found, then what we're going to do is add them to the collection. Pretty simple, right? Now, the next thing I wanted to do was test this activity, right? So I have ensure customer is in list test. And let's see here. Let's close some of these windows so we get a little bigger view. And so I have a simple test here called add customer if not in list. All right. And so you can see the pattern I follow here where I sort of the people talk about arrange, act, and assert. So that's sort of what I'm doing here. I arrange everything. I knew up my collection. I knew up a customer. I knew up the activity. I'm using a class called Workflow Invoker Test, which is a test class from the Microsoft Activities unit testing library that wraps up Workflow Invoker and does some extra things like adds tracking and so forth. I create my input dictionary and then we say test the activity. Okay, and when we're done, we're just going to say I'm asserting that when we're done, this collection should contain the customer. Now to run this, if I hit Control R, T, not Control T, because that would debug it, we just quickly ran our test. And you see, if I look in here, that the test passed. And this debug trace here is actually the tracking information of everything that the workflow did while it was running. And so you can walk right on through and see what happened, the collection arguments that were passed, the customer argument. We see that the sequence started and so forth. And then we can see even the value of the arguments that were passed right on through. So that's one of the reasons why I like using Workflow Invoker test rather than just Workflow Invoker. So if something does go wrong with this test, I can see exactly what happened. And the way I got that output, you might be asking, why did I put this in a try finally block? It's because of this line right here. So the reason I do this is because if for some reason this assert fails, then what happens when an assert fails is it throws an exception. So I want to get the tracking even if the thing fails, so I put it in a finally block. That's why I do that. So now that's cool, right? You say, hey, this activity looks great. Looks like it's working just fine. That's cool. In fact, if we look at our customer type here, we'll see that the customer type just has a couple of fields here. It has a GUID for an ID and a name. All right. Now, just for my little sample purposes, whenever I construct a new one of these, I just give it a new GUID, all right? But you can imagine that if we were working with a customer object out of a database, there probably would be an ID for the customer object that you would get out of the database. And then I have declared here a copy constructor. And the copy constructor just makes a copy of the other customer. So that's what we're going to test next. Now, So the next test I ask here, the next test I just ask a question. What happens if the copied customer exists? All right, so let's see what we do here. First of all, I new up a collection of customer. Then I'm going to create a new customer, and it will get the GUID will get created a new GUID for that customer, and then I'm going to add it to my collection. All right, and then I'm going to create a copy of that customer. So I have customer one and customer two, and they are two different CLR objects. They're different references, different locations in memory, but they're actually, one is a copy of the other. So even though technically they're different objects, they point to the same customer. So, you know, now we're getting into tricky notions of what does it mean to be equivalent. So let's continue. We'll see what the problem is. So then I new up that ensure customer is in list activity, and then I create my workflow invoker test host there, and I pass, you know, get my input dictionary. All right, and now I'm going to test the activity. Okay, so remember, we've got two customer objects, one and two, and we have an activity that's supposed to ensure that this customer exists in the list. So after I call this, I'm going to write into the test context what is in the customer collection. And then I'm going to assert some things. So right here, I'm going to assert that our collection does contain both customer one and customer two. And you note that I say, this is probably not what you want. But let's run it and see what I'm talking about. Okay, so it did pass. And you see here, our customer collection, there are two customers in there, but they have the same ID. Now, you have to ask, is that right or wrong? Well, I said it's probably not what you want, because if you were dealing with customer objects out of a database, you know, you're going to go load them, and from the database point of view, you've got two objects, but they really point to the same customer. So from the sense of kind of business data, they're really the same customer. So like I said in the comment there, this is probably not what you want. So what's going on here really is that when the collection class, collection of T, does its check to see the object equivalence, it says, well, customer one and customer two are different objects, so I'm going to add both of them. And it's right, they are different objects. So how can we fix that? Well, what we can do is we can use a different type, and we can extend our type a little bit to mess with what it means to be equal. So I created a subclass called Equatable Customer. And if we look at Equatable Customer, we'll see that it implements IEquatable of T, which is just a way of saying to things in the .NET framework, hey, everybody, I'm a type that knows I'm going to define what it means to be equal to this other thing. So it knows how to be equal to other equatable customers. Okay, so when you do this, there are some things you have to override. Okay, one of them is so I have my copy constructor there. One of them is I have to override the equals method. All right, and so if you basically, I look to see if the references are equal, and then the type is the same. And okay, if they are, then I do a strong type cast, because here I'm just saying, is it equal this other kind of object? I don't know what the object is. If I do know what the, if I get to this point, then I know it must be an equatable customer. So then I cast it to that. I have to override get hash code. If you override equals, you should override get hash code. And then I have my IEquatable of customer or equatable customer. So here I override equals another customer, and this is the line right here. This is the key part. Let me scroll that up. What I'm saying here is, if I have two equatable customers, they are equal if the ID equals the other ID. Okay, I don't care about anything else. If the ID is the same, they are the same. Okay, and so that's a reasonable thing to do for something like an ID if I'm talking about the same customer from a business point of view. So now if we go back to the test, and we see here I do a similar thing that I did before, just using equatable customer, And let's run this. And now if we look at the test result here, we see that there's only one customer in the collection because we did that override the, you know, implement iEquatable of T. So what does this have to do with collection activities? Well, you know, this problem occurs even if you're not using collection activities. If you're just using regular old collection classes in .NET, you would have the same problem. I just bring it up because I thought that if you're working with the collection activities, you're working with collections, and you might run into this. And in particular because many times in workflow, you're creating a workflow solution that you allow a non-programmer to deal with, right? So a non-programmer, they're not going to understand these notions of equality and references and memory locations and stuff like that. They just know, I have a customer, I tried to put it in the collection and it put it in there twice and they don't understand why. So as the developer, if you're creating something for a non-developer to use in workflow, you have to consider when you're building your types like customer types and things, these notions of object equivalence and get those right. So that is a walkthrough of this new enhanced sample. And by the way, I did put all of the same stuff that's on the web page right here in a Word document that comes with it. So you get all that information right there in the Word document as well. I would love to know if you think this is worth it. You know, because honestly, it is a fair bit of work to put this kind of stuff together. And I think it's worth it because we want to be sure that you know how to use these things and do the work. But, you know, maybe some people are like, don't waste so much time on these samples. You know, just put something out there and we'll figure it out. Maybe you think that. Maybe you'd rather have Ron do something else. Okay, so you let me know. You can leave a comment right below the video, and we'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.